8:02 in the a.m., Ken McCusick from FilmStudyBaltimore.com joins us. Good morning to you, Ken.
Hey, Rob, how's it going?
I'm doing well. I'll get this out of the way so we can talk what's on film. Devontae Adams to the Ravens. Is this a move that the Ravens need to make, in your opinion?
No, I think it's about their third biggest need going into the trade deadline. I'd put their number one need at a safety.
Okay.
And I think they need to go out and they'd find the right free safety, hopefully one that's around for 2025 as well, because I think both Williams and Jackson could be gone the way it looks right now. Then offensive lineman, if there's a serviceable one available at a reasonable price, and that's a lot of hurdles, then that would be second. But I think that would come pretty expensive. And then wide receiver would be third. I actually think they could use a gadget guy, another gadget guy to allow Flowers to run some deeper routes. But if Devontae Adams is the guy and they just got to have him, then I guess I'm on board with that plan. I'm not really excited about it, honestly.
I'm not excited about it either.
Are you surprised? I hate to say weak, but how poor the secondary play has been. I thought that was going to be the strongest unit on the Ravens.
Yeah, safety play has been a big disappointment. Yeah. And Eddie Jackson was a big risk, and not a big risk in terms of the contract, but a big risk in terms of the responsibilities assigned to him, because he's played a high percentage of the snaps now. And he's a guy who's given up 10 yards per target for the last 4 years. And we've seen some of the coverage breakdowns occur there. Williams does not look like himself at all right now. And I'm still hoping he can come back, but we'll see.
Ken, before I get to some of this other stuff, what was going through your mind watching that Cincinnati game? Because we've all talked about it, like, it's one of the best games you could watch, and obviously with the outcome for Ravens fans, it makes it even better. But from a standpoint of just being fun and back and forth, it had everything. What are you thinking as a Ravens fan down the stretch?
You know, the thing that the game it reminds me of, and I'm sure a lot of people listening to this radio station will remember this, the 2003 game against Seattle where they came back and won in overtime.
Where they got five downs.
First time we saw the sprinkler.
Yes.
Seattle was doing the sprinkler that game. Yeah.
That game was remarkable in the Anthony Wright game, but this had it all. I mean, it was a relentless, pedal to the floor kind of game from the offense perspective, and just seeing them drive up the field was a lot of fun. And they finally got the couple of big plays they needed with the Humphrey interception and the Matabike sack to set them up to get that game to overtime. And then, unbelievably, the holder all of a sudden can't get the ball down. Terrible. Unbelievably poor game management. By the way, if you're a John Harbaugh hater right now, look at what happened. Look at the self-destruction that occurred, not only on that Cincinnati sideline, which made a huge number of errors during the game, but how many good moves Harbaugh made during that game, from a game management perspective. He had the timeout ready when they were about to lose 5 yards in a very key situation there. Mm-hmm. And called it. He went for it deep in his own end on 4th and 1.
Did you like that? I mean, he got it.
Yeah, absolutely. Love it. And by the way, analytics people, whenever you ask them, they say, well, you could go on for 4th and 3 or 4th and 3.5 in that situation, and they'd still say it's the right play. But, they
also say when you're in the opponent's territory and relative field goal range, like, on the outskirts, 4th and 5, it's
go for it automatically.
Yeah, it's go for it.
Yeah, because the net change in field position is so small. Yeah.
Ken McCusick joins us from FilmStudyBaltimore.com. Speaking of Lamar Jackson, unbelievable 400 yards of total offense, 4 touchdowns. I mean, the guy is just, he keeps continuing to raise the bar to what we expect of him. You know what I mean? I think 3 or 4 years ago, that game Sunday would have been all that we could talk about. Now he does it and we're like, yeah, we kind of expect that from him.
I mean, I think he's probably the front runner again for the MVP, if not very close to it at this point. This was a game where the Ravens didn't give him a great opportunity set of times. They weren't terrible. They gave him a little bit of time in the pocket, but by my division of the opportunity set, he should have thrown for about 241 yards. He threw for 345, so beat it by 100. Now Burrow beat his by 140 in this game.
Okay,
so pretty impressive game, and he needed every bit of it.
What'd you think of the blocking? I'm a huge Derrick Henry fan. I think he's a different cat. There was a lot of exceptional blocking for him, though.
Yeah, the 87 and the 51, both of them had incredibly blocked up plays, and their outside runs gave those plays both time to get blocked up. The block by Tylan Wallace is just as good as you'll see on this one. Last week, that trap block by Ricard in the Sunday night game, unbelievable. It's great to see that. I had somebody on the show who talked about how at this point Henry still has the speed to run outside, and you're better off using him in that way, particularly with the way other teams are stacking the box.
Well, I think because he's so big, the casual fans have a misconception.
Yeah.
I always thought he was better outside. Off tackle, outside. This image of him, you know, going 250 pounds up the middle, that was like, that wasn't his best, you know, his best suit.
Well, it's kind of, anytime you run to the outside, you're generally going to face a smaller player with first contact. So that's the big advantage.
But the other part, too, with a lot of the big runs he's had up the middle have been short yardage situations where they just miss him. And then it's like, good luck. Mm-hmm. You're not, I mean, who's getting him now if you've stuffed the box and you've missed the initial play? I want to ask you about the wide receivers. You know, we went from a week of not seeing them to a week of them being showcased. And one of the things I love about this game is it was a 10-point deficit. A lot of questions about Lamar. Can he bring you back? I think he's got a pretty good core with him if you include the tight ends and wide receivers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all three tight ends showed up, obviously, in this game. Kolar had kind of a breakout game in terms of you know, the longer catch, but also that nice little route that he ran for the touchdown. He squeezed into a spot where they had dropped eight guys into coverage, and that was a heart. That was not an easy spot to find. He sat there. Lamar got him the football right away, and I was impressed by that. Andrews was where he needed to be in that fourth quarter, making big plays. Likely didn't have a lot of yards in the game. He had three catches for 13 yards, but two of them were touchdowns. And if one of the things about route running for this team, you can't give up on your routes, and you really see it on the All-22 now. Is you look down on the field and you see, you know, these players who will run to a certain spot and they're like, well, my route's done. Well, no, it's not. You know, Lamar might have more seconds back.
We talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, because part of it I thought was too, like, with zone defenses, you're taught to sit a lot when you're running your routes and not to run into another defender. And Lamar's primarily going to see zone unless you have someone spying the quarterback. But we've noticed this group. And you can give Lamar some credit for pointing and telling someone to go this direction. It seems like Zay and Likely still keep moving no matter what's going on.
Yeah, Likely actually stopped on that route. He stopped in the corner of the end zone. He didn't know where to go next. And part of it is he had to break the normal rules that you go by, which is you have to go back towards. Usually everybody's going to the sideline of the roll. And he was squeezed up right against the sideline, so you wouldn't figure for him to get the ball back to the middle of the field. But Likely, you know, found the spot and did it.
Ken, Jeremy asked you about the receiving core, which I agree with him. The phenomenal job of usage for them. 28 receptions for 13.4 yards to catch, four touchdown receptions as well, targeted 41 times. I want to talk to you in particular about my guy, Zay Flowers. I was sick of Zay Flowers averaging fewer than 10 yards a catch. He was used like a running back, and I didn't like it. He's not that guy. Zay Flowers is a down-the-field threat. I love the way Todd Monken and company used him on Sunday, seven receptions, 111 yards. Still didn't get in the end zone. That's fine. Almost 16 yards a catch. That, to me, is Zay Flowers.
Yeah, it helps the team a lot more in that way, in multiple ways. First of all, you get more per catch out of him. He can take advantage of that open space between level two and three when the box is packed, as they really had it done, you know, in this last week. And also, I mean, he peels the safety. I mean, he's a guy who takes the safety out of the play for you and can get you that two-on-one coverage you're really seeking when you want to hit other targets like the tight end over the middle.
I've got to go to defense a little bit here. The pass rush was okay. I expected a lot more because I thought the Bengals' offensive line had troubles. Like, guys are coming from injuries. They just weren't great. But what happened to the pass rush? Yeah.
I think the pass rush actually was pretty good. The problem is Burrow. He gets the ball out quickly, a high percentage of throws. This time it was 18 out of 42 where he had a BOQ. He also threw for over 10 yards per pass on his ball out quick attempts, which a normal amount would be six. The Ravens only gave him ample time and space eight times. By comparison, they pressured him 16 times. It's actually a pretty damn good day by the pass rush from my perspective.
Well, especially they weren't blitzing a lot.
Yeah, they did not blitz. The five times the entire game, they rushed five plus. In the first half, they used a number of off-ball blitzes and were fairly successful with that five times. And they totally shut it down for some reason. And I can't figure out why.
Let me ask you about special teams because we see Justin Tucker make that big kick. One of the cool things I saw him, there was a post-game press conference, he was being interviewed, and every time he talked about missing a kick, he said, everything that he made had to do with the team, it was we, where I feel like he puts a lot of pressure on himself, but to hit a 50-some yarder, we know he can do it, I think that gives him more confidence moving forward, but in that situation, I'm sure there were a lot of Ravens fans that had doubts.
Yeah, I mean, you can count on me, I was screaming at the TV set. I thought it was the wrong play to go for the kick there. I thought they should have gone for the first down. It was just extremely long for what it was. It was very windy. I mean, if you look at the kick they tried, to win the game from 53 yards. The flags were absolutely drooping down the goalpost. When Tucker made it, the flags are flying all the way from left to right, as you know, from Tucker's perspective anyway. And you could see him almost like a golf shot, or he's having to hit
it beautiful.
Fade.
Hit it left and it faded right. Yeah, it was beautiful. It was. Yeah. Ken McCusick, FilmStudyBaltimore.com. The penalties, 9 penalties for 45 yards. The two teams combined, the Ravens with 5 for 21. Penalties not an issue this game. You think that was stressed leading up to this game, or just a coincidence?
Yeah, I think it was stressed. I mean, they still had a big offensive holding play penalty on Falele that could have cost them really badly. They had the roughing the passer penalty, which happened to be on a touchdown, so that got I guess that's counted in there, but it wasn't for any yards to walked off. So yeah, it's nice. I'm sure it's stressed, and it's nice that they're getting some calls from the league. I thought both teams had a really bogus RTP call against them in this game, and I'm glad it was 1-1 and not 2-0 like normally.
Matt Abike, I guess my next question, because he's someone who he was highly touted, has fulfilled a lot of it, but how did he play this game?
Absurdly good game. One of the best of his Ravens career. Probably not quite the best, but he had parts of 8 pressure events. He had only the one RTP didn't count, but he had another quarterback hit. He had the huge sack that basically put him behind the sticks at 2nd and 17 when it looked like they were going to just drive down for about the easiest field goal ever. On that last drive of regulation, they never got that drive started because of that, and they put them behind enough that they passed, had an incomplete, and then decided they needed to run the ball on third down. But that pass was the key play in getting that game to overtime. That sack was.
We touched on it, but the fact that they come back from 10 points, looking forward, because that's been a big question. It's like, what are you going to do with a running team when you fall behind? And Lamar's clearly shown you numerous times now that he can bring his team back.
Yeah, I mean, look, a couple of years ago, what he did, I guess it's 3 years ago now, against the Colts in that game where he brought him back.
The Browns game.
The Browns on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, that's
poop
another
game.
Good one.
Yeah, and, poop gate.
Love that game. But yeah, I don't think that question should be there for Lamar. It's just the Ravens don't trail that much, and they don't trail nearly as much as they lead, so they're going to always be known as a team that probably blows a few more 10-point leads than they get back.
Yeah.
Ken McCusick, Film Study Baltimore. Tell fans, first of all, what did you learn about the Ravens in this game?
Learn about the Ravens. I thought it was really nice that they had another way to win a game, that it's not just being able to run the football. I think the offensive line had a pretty good game going across. Falele, a little bit of trouble. Be interesting to see now what they do with Andrew Vorhees, because we got Patrick McCarry having a good game at left guard. So how they proceed from here is going to be interesting. I think this. I really, after the good game Bateman has, really would hope they would not go after Davante Adams.
Tell folks in Baltimore about why they need to be a part of Film Study Baltimore.
All right. Well, website's out there. It has defensive articles, an offensive line article. It comes out tomorrow, and podcasts every day, a total of 9 per week.
There you go. Thanks a lot, Ken McCusick. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Easy there.
410-583-1057 is the number. What happened?
Nothing. I'll explain it to you in the break.
Okay.